This is going to be the most tired episode of the Co-Pilots podcast you're ever going to hear.
Yeah, and that's mostly just because the format's getting old.
Oh, no! that was rude.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. The Co-Pilots podcast, the show where we take two pilot episodes of two different TV shows that are linked in some form, and then we talk about them.
Yeah, I think the link here is every episode of the show is different, and also they're old.
Tales of the Crypt isn't that old. It was only sort of 89.
They're both older than me, so...
pretty old then.
Yeah.
It was a surprising weekend, because...
Sorry.
Got a little cough, so... Very professional. I didn't expect to see you the weekend just gone, but I did.
Yep, I expected to see you. Can you imagine if I turned up and you'd just been like, oh, just fuck off. Get back on that train. Or walk back to that train station and get an Uber back to the other train station so you can fuck off.
Oh yeah, because there's a tree fell on the track, didn't it?
Yeah.
You had a bit of bother getting to us on time.
Yeah, well they just said... You'll just have to sit still. You'll just have to sit and wait for a bit. And I was just like, let me off this fucking train. Like, I'm not waiting. Like, I'm meant to be in town now, but just need to go. So our friend pretended to have a poo for long enough to give me time to get at least somewhat to you.
It was a convincing enough stalling tactic. Because it was like, yes, Jack, of course he's having a big poo.
Yeah.
But no, it worked. And then we had several incidences. One of a woman getting driven into and she went nuts, which was quite funny.
I had forgotten about that.
We had another instance of the waiter putting a teaspoon across my cup of coffee like a knobhead. I went to take it off. Oh, that wound me up so much. But Lisa absolutely lost it, that.
Yeah, and then the spoons were also too short for the coffee. So both of us dunked our fingers in. Like, you watched me do it, because you were still complaining about the fact that he laid it across the top of the foam on our 9 p.m. lattes.
But like,
while I was stirring it, just dipped my finger in, and then about 10 minutes later, you did exactly the same thing.
But he put it in such a way that he came towards me with a teaspoon, as if to say, oh, I've just retrieved you a teaspoon. Here you go, now you can stir your coffee. So I wanted to take it from him, ready in to say, thank you very much, I'll enjoy this lovely coffee. Just pops it across the top of my cup so it gets all foamy around the handle and fucks off. And then I burnt my fingers. But no, it was good fun. And
the coffee was worth it.
But then we had the incident with Jose, the chap who was standing behind me throwing up outside Dancing Man Brewery.
Oh, that was so grim.
It was an eventful night. For a night where I thought I would just be, you know, going home, maybe watching a film, you know, having a little drink with Lisa and then going to bed. No.
Instead, I turned up in Southampton with nothing and just went, I'm staying with you.
That's not true, you had an umbrella.
I did have an umbrella.
Was it rain? Did it rain at all yesterday? After it, or when you got back to London?
No,
that's a shame.
Just carrying around an umbrella like an idiot.
But no, that was it. Was quite nice. It was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I didn't actually just turn up and say I'm staying with you. I was just like, I'll get the last train, and then everyone was like, "Nah, you should just stay."
No, yeah, but you must have known it was like, yeah, I probably am not going to get a train.
Well, yeah, no, because I booked an open return. I could have stayed for a fucking week, mate. I mean, I'd have smelt real bad, but I could have.
Oh, so yeah, we had a bit of a weekend of it, and we're still recovering. Like, I've been so tired today, it's ridiculous. But we should probably get on with what this show's actually for, because we've rambled on for nearly 5 minutes about nothing.
Well, I mean, oldest show first.
Okay, the Twiglet Zone.
Yeah.
I think I said on last week's show about how excited I got on the Twilight Zone ride,
yeah,
at Disneyland, and it made me really excited to watch this. And then I was halfway through watching this that I realised, oh, I've seen this. Okay, that's a shame. But so yeah, so the Twilight Zone is a the concept of the Twilight Zone is it's a whole bunch of, it's an anthology series. There's a load of different sci-fi inflected stories being told that generally end in a twist.
Are they? I'm imagining they're all sort of like the self-contained stuff. So yeah, very it seems like a lot of shows now do this, but some of them do like a series, or like Inside Number 9 does like a similar sort of thing.
Hmm. That's it. Yeah, Inside Number 9 takes massive cues from this, but I'm not sure if they have recurring characters in the Twilight Zone, or even recurring. They're recurring actors. William Shatner's done a few apparently, and Robert Redford. But I'm not sure if they have recurring characters. Because that would be quite. Apparently there are recurring characters. But yeah, so the first episode is called "Where Is Everybody?" And it sort of takes its cues from is it I Am Amiga or Amiga Man or something? The Robert, oh crap, what's his name? The novel that I Am Legend was based on, and that Vincent Price did a film of. I think it's called Amiga Man or something.
Oh, possibly, because I got a very oh, I Am Legend took a lot of cues from this, I think.
Mm.
Especially when he's talking to the mannequin, I was just like, if I remember nothing else about this episode, I'm going to remember the, wait, that's the thing what Will Smith did, but in colour.
Mm. So yeah, this guy, he's wandering down a road. There's no explanation as to how he got there. He's just wandering down this road and he finds a diner. He goes in there and there's evidence of people being there, like there's a jukebox playing and stuff, but there's no one there. So he spends the entire episode just wandering around this town, wondering where everyone is. And like you said, there's mannequins just sat, like, you know, in positions that you'd expect people to be in. And it essentially, it's sort of just a descent into madness, isn't it? First sort of 20 minutes of the episode is he's just running around, just going absolutely mad and seeing
out why he's like the only person there. Just like, but where is everyone? It's especially when you see stuff like lit cigars and stuff, and he's like, but where is everyone?
Something I struggle with. I can forgive it for because it's so short, but the fact that he has amnesia and he can't remember who he is, I think I'll forgive it for this one. Because
it's not really important that he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah. So, but after all, he finds a cinema where it's playing a war film, which makes him think, oh yeah, I was in the Air Force.
So he's just running back going, oh, I was in the Air Force.
Oh yeah, he does, doesn't he? But then he's thinking, oh crap, am I the last person? Am I the only survivor of like a nuclear war or something? And then it all goes a little bit odd because he runs through the cinema and he crashes into a mirror.
Yeah, I mean, I think before that point he's talked to mirrors a couple of times.
Yeah. But that's it. No, he goes to the
he just gets to like a
the crossing.
Yeah. And he pushes like the walk button and just starts screaming for help. He gets locked in a phone box as well at one point.
Hmm.
I thought it was the phone box where it pulled out.
What, like the Matrix?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is actually quite a good touch, because it turns out that he's actually an astronaut who's been training in this isolation room.
Yeah, it's like a sensory deprivation thing, isn't it? Yeah, to prepare him for being in the vacuum of space.
Yeah, and he's been preparing to be, you know, seeing if he can withstand the psychological stress of being on the moon for just completely on his own. Which is actually the concept, the setup to Moon, which is of, what's his name? David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones. That's his first film, which is incredible. There's a guy on the moon on his own.
Oh.
But it's brilliant. So yeah, and it turns out he's hallucinated the entire town
Well, yeah, apparently, wasn't it like just the last, I think it was like the last, like, couple of hours or something, where it just, like, all went to shit.
Yeah, so he'd been there for 484 hours at 36 minutes.
I wonder if maybe it's just like that, like, 36 minutes, because that's about the right length for the show.
Well, 20 minutes. Yeah. So I guess you could just, yeah, so he does quite a bit, yeah. But then they conclude that actually there's something, you know, that humans really struggle with that, and it's companionship, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, the way to solve that would be to send two people.
I mean,
because they're just going like, we haven't figured out a way to like solve this problem, and it's like send two people or a dog.
Maybe if we just put another seat in the rocket. But yeah, but that ends quite darkly, doesn't it? He just says, "Oh, you know, we're gonna have another go at this, aren't we?" And he's like, "No, you're actually doing it for real next time. I've just proved to you this isn't gonna work, and you're still sending me."
Yeah, well, I think didn't they say it's enough time to get there and back quite comfortably, so they're like, oh yeah, no, maybe it'll just be fine.
I feel that's probably irresponsible.
Well, how hard is it to crash a rocket into the earth? Not that hard. He doesn't need to be lucid for it. Just needs to be in the chair.
So another thing, something that links Twilight Zone Tales from Crypt again is there's a narrator for each one. It's slightly more obvious in the or at least oh, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
It's more on the nose in Tales of the Crypt.
Yeah, but it's actually, I think it is actually Rod Serling who does the narration, who's the guy who created the Twilight Zone. So it closes with him narrating, saying, "Oh, this is the Twilight Zone." Blah blah blah. But yeah, something I feel like watching this as a series would be fairly difficult, because in my mind, it would probably make more sense if you were going to continue watching this just to cherry pick the best episodes.
Yeah,
because there's going to be some.
Yeah,
because
because it doesn't really matter between the two. For this show, it doesn't matter the order that you watch them in.
Yeah, if there's no sort of continuation of the story, then it doesn't. Yeah, it's like Inside Number 9. You know, you can just pick an episode at random, and you've got a half hour self-contained story that you know, and it's resolved in the length of the whole episode. So that's what's quite attractive about the Twilight Zone, I guess, is the fact that you could just pick one and not have any of them. So if you did, like, Google, I don't know, best Twilight Zone episodes, it would just throw up a list, and you can just watch them in any order, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, to be fair, though, I think there are quite a lot of episodes as well.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, quite a lot of them have been on my mind for a while, because obviously it's like a horror-inflected show, and it's influenced a lot of horror fiction that I've enjoyed. So it's like a cultural touchstone when it comes to sort of sci-fi and horror, that sort of thing. So it's always been sort of prevalent in the back of my mind. At some point, it would be nice to just flick through a whole bunch of Twilight Zone episodes. And it got revived a couple of times as well. So there was a film that came out in the 80s, and then a series that followed that, and then another series in 2002. So watching, like, the more modern episode, it'd be interesting to see how that, you know, anxieties from, you know, almost modern life would be explored in this sort of thing.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how more modern stuff compares to, like, the stuff that we have now. So, like, your Inside Number 9s and Black Mirrors and that sort of thing. See how, I guess, like, a newer but more closely Twilight Zone-y thing would compare to, like, I guess, to Black Mirror, because that's probably the thing that would match up most with
definitely a modern equivalent is definitely, well, but although Black Mirror does focus, it does tend to focus more on sort of technology being almost a gateway, if you like, to the Twilight Zone, or to the exploring the anxiety that it wants to explore. You know, it tends to come from technology and our relationship to it.
Yeah, I think because Inside Number 9 is more of, I don't know, I guess it depends. I've seen one episode of the Twilight Zone, so I can't speak for all of it. Where I sort, it no. seems like it's more like sciencey based.
Yeah.
Whereas I think like an Inside Number 9 is more like there are just bad people.
I think Inside, knowing the creators of Inside Number 9, Rhys Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton, they formed the League of Gentlemen with the other two members because of their love of horror. So I think that's probably more influence. Although there are sort of sci-fi elements, I think, in Inside Number 9, but they're more definitely leaning towards horror, I guess.
Yeah, more to like the people do bad things, not things not can do situation. Things can cause bad things to happen to people.
Bad things happen to people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did you like it? Did you think it? Because I thought it was quite ahead of its time. The idea of it, he's almost in a simulation, like The Matrix. I thought that, you know, it's
yeah, especially set in a time where computers were not
the size of rooms.
Yeah, not very like the idea of like simulating something would be
quite strange. Yeah.
Well, because I think this is before the moon landing, isn't it?
Well, it's 1959, yeah, 10 years.
Just
that's something I hadn't even considered. That's mad.
Yeah.
That contextualises it, like, in quite an effective way for me, just to realising, oh shit, actually, you're right, we haven't even gone to the moon at this
point. Oh yeah, then can you imagine, like, astronauts at the time watching this?
Being like, is
that what it's gonna be like? Because I don't want to be mad. Please don't make me go. But no, I'd be interested to watch some more of it. But then, yeah, as you say, it'd just be a picking some like cherry picking the best episodes. It's the weird thing with all these like anthology series, like you don't need, like there's just so much that you don't need to watch,
which works for me.
Yeah, like for me, like it's nice because I mean to be fair, I love binge watching TV shows.
I just don't get the time to do it anymore.
Yeah, I cheat by working from home.
I think what you mean is actually you put all your dedication and concentration into your work all day, all the
while
time.
While a TV show is on in the background.
Don't say that. They might be listening.
No one's listening. It's fine.
If our stats are anything to go by, it proves that definitely no one is fucking listening. Shall we move on to Tales from the Crypt then?
Yes.
So this is based on a series of comic books that... Now, in my head, Stephen King mentions Tales from the Crypt a lot, and if he does, that must be the comics, because the TV show was only made in the 90s. But in my head, Tales from the Crypt and Stephen King are, like, intrinsically linked.
Well, I think Tales from the Crypt comics have been around for, like, since the 50s.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they're made in the 50s. So, yeah, that would make sense. I think he even mentions it in... he's written a couple of books that are about writing and about his work. I'm not sure, maybe I'm getting this slightly wrong, because I think he was involved in Creepshow.
That sounds like a very different thing. Well, not very different, but
well, I think it's almost based on Tales from the Crypt, I think. Yeah, it's based on the 1950s comics. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that all just like word for word reconstruction of the same thing. But then I imagine there's probably enough comics that it's not really such a big issue to have multiple things. If they're releasing like two a month for like 5 or 6 years, that's as many podcasts as we've done.
Yeah.
Well, more, but plenty. Yeah, because it looks like the comics have been revived recently as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2007. They were revived for 3 years. Then again, 2016, which apparently is still going.
Sweet. I have to look that up. We were just discussing the various famous people who have been involved in directing it, and also it's got a lot of famous stars, the people who have actually been in it. Eddie Izzard's been in it. Brad Pitt's been in it. Iggy Pop. I've just got a list. Slash, apparently. I wonder if he directed... Oh, no. Slash has been in this. What? That's crazy.
Well, I guess it's that sort of show where it's easy to get someone to come and do, like... Can you come and do, like, a couple of days filming?
Yeah. He was in an episode called In the Groove, apparently. Oh, wow. I'm going to have to find this one.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very, again, similar to Twilight Zone. Each episode opens with an introduction to...
From the Crypt Keeper.
The Crypt Keeper. Who's a sort of puppet. Skeletal puppet thing.
Yeah.
Who I actually really quite like.
Yeah, I feel like if I watched this as a kid, it would freak me out. But then I feel like this really isn't aimed at kids.
No. I started watching it thinking, oh, it's almost sort of... Goosebumps for slightly older teenagers, and then the boobs happened, and all the swearings happened, and I thought
it was at that point I was like, I'm watching this on YouTube.
Yeah, that is a bit odd. That is, I mean, don't say anything because we might want to carry on. But
yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, it's odd. So anyway, the first episode is called "The Man Who Was Death."
Yeah, do you know, if there was ever going to be a show that I thought we were going to fuck up and watch the wrong pilots for, it might have been one of these two.
Yeah, but it turns out, because I realised we haven't actually discussed this between us before we started the show. But
I just went for the first one. There's one Prime, and the one that was listed as, well, then I found the list for Tales from the Crypt and was like, well, that's got the earliest date on it.
Yeah, God, I was lucky. So it concerns an executioner called Niles Talbot, who he, after his state decides they're going to
abolish the death penalty.
Abolish. I can't think of words today. They're abolishing the death penalty, which means, oh, he's out of a job. So he decides to dispense his own justice to people who deserve it. So there's a series of criminals who get away with their crimes or aren't convicted, which it seems odd that the abolishment of capital punishment then means that criminals just sort of go free now.
Well, I think the first one's like a technicality on like paperwork or something.
Yeah, the biker, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
he absolutely killed this woman's brother. Is it?
Yeah, but then that's a reason for a case to get thrown out of court. Like, bad paperwork is a reason. It makes then anything tied to it inadmissible. So,
yeah,
do your paperwork right, lawyers and police officers.
I can't. We are not the people to be handing out legal advice.
No. Well, I'm just saying, do the paperwork good.
Do the paperwork good.
Yeah. Use all the good Englishes and stuff.
Speak England.
Yeah, it'll all be fine. But yeah, so he initially, because of the episode name, I was like. When I saw it was like this prisoner at first getting led to his execution with his like, the governor will call. He's gonna call. Just wait a couple minutes, he'll call. I thought it was going to be like they electrocute him and then he becomes like some sort of embodiment of death.
Yeah. Or at least the executioner was actually death.
Yeah, well, no, I expected it to all be based around the prisoner. And then it cut to like the next scene, and it's like the executioner like in a bar where the TV's talking about abolishing capital punishment. And he's just like, "Well, fuck."
Yeah,
I need my job.
That's awkward. Is that what you've done? Is you've created an episode that might be better than the actual episode? Because if he then is like, "Right, you're now deaf," he's like, "What?" And then he's got to go around killing people. Yeah, that would be an interesting story.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's pretty much what he does. But he is just like a self-claimed, like, I am death now.
I am become death.
Yeah. Which, it's an it's still an interesting take on it, like, what does someone who is an executioner by trade do afterwards?
I mean, get a job as a delivery driver, or a farmer, or literally anything else.
Yeah, but then he went to, like, that one guy and was like, hey, can I have that job where I just, like, look after prisoners in the prison? And they're just like, nah, you're good. The thing is, this cunt just waited a couple of months. He had his job back. Because by the end of the episode, they're like, oh, actually, no, killing people's actually a pretty good idea. It waits.
I like that because he's used to flipping the switch for electric chairs twice for everyone, because you never know. He then decides, okay, well, the only way I can kill people is via electricity. So then it becomes more and more complicated ways. Oh, and I've got to rig up this stripper cage now, and I've got to walk across the room, flip the switch. Oh, it's not working. And
Like the first one is just like he hooks up a car battery to a gate, and he has that like case that's got like a switch in it, so it feels like proper. And then, like, the first time he just does it quietly, doesn't confront the guy. The second time it's that couple who, like, killed his wife
in the hot tub.
Yeah. And then he's just
that was wicked. I really liked that, when they're in the hot tub and he's just like, yeah, thank you.
My favourite bit of that scene was where she just went, yeah, it was all his idea, I didn't think he was gonna do it. And it's like
shut up Cynthia.
But really don't think that's helping your case. This guy's clearly crazy. Don't just go, but, like, please don't kill us. That motherfucker's crazy. and then he tries to, like, then there's a stripper cage with the boobs. Where he's just like, oh no, it's not working, I don't understand. And then it just cuts up and it's like, the cables are clearly not connected. And it's like, oh, this man's fucked.
And it turns out it was a setup. And then he finds himself in the electric chair.
Yeah. And, like, it's a very nice callback to the very start of the episode where, like, it's him, like, going down the corridor being like, no.
Kicking and
screaming. What I've noticed, that's a very narrow corridor they drag them through.
I thought that, but then I was thinking they're probably constrained by how much space they had in the studio.
Oh, yeah,
because this is the pilot episode of a risky... That's one of the sort of the criticisms, almost, I'd say, of this particular episode of Tales from the Crypt. It feels like it's pretty much specifically designed to be like, hey, we're edgy, we're showing boobs and violence and horribleness, and I don't know if it was, because I think if it Tales from the Crypt, it is supposed to be shocking. Because it's probably, like, you know, it's quite a shocking show to have on TV. I'd like to know if they had any, like, trouble with the censors or anything like that. Because obviously they're showing, like, you know, graphic violence and nudity and stuff like that. So it almost feel like it was just like, this is a shocking thing. But then I don't know if that's sort of the point, in which case, great. Or if, you know, they go into a bit more depth with stories of it. But again, it's the same with Twilight Zone, isn't it? You could just pick and choose. And
yeah, what I'm guessing is that they're all very like, these are just like cut as like, this is one issue of like a bi-weekly comic book, so the stories are going to be pretty short. And I guess
I think horror works in that. Having said all that,
we've always
best when it's punchy.
I think we've always agreed that, like, horror works better when it's just, it's not dragging it out over like a week.
Yeah, short and to the point, and you know, it gets to the, don't bore us, get to the chorus.
Yeah, just get through it and do it. I mean, the only issue I had with it was because the episodes are so short. Like, it was just like, oh, cool, he's done a murder, then another murder, then he's been caught, and then he's dead. And it's like, oh, but...
he was just getting going.
Yeah. Like, give a man a chance. Is two murders really a serial killer?
Yes. I think the definition for serial killer is more than one killing in more than one different scenario.
Oh, well, I feel like he should have at least got three. Because that, at that point he's developed an MO, which is electrocution.
That's true. Well, no, hang on, no, he is a serial killer, because he did, the first one was one. He did get three. Because he got, what, the biker, then the couple, so that's three.
Oh, yeah, I'm still counting that. It's a double homicide, but it's just, in my head, it's just one murder. I'm actually now just looking at the list of guest stars.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Ewan McGregor's in there. Of,
is he? I didn't see that. Whoopi Goldberg, I've just spotted. Bob
Adam
Austin.
West.
Fucking hell. Colin Salmon. He was at one point going to be Bond, I think. He was considered for it. Tim Roth.
Aww.
One of our favourites. But yeah. No, I really like it. I did really like it. And it, but again...
Fucking John Rhys Davies. Fucking really? Gimli. Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Christopher Reeve.
Oh dear.
But yeah, no, it's one of those shows that like I feel like I could just sit and quite happily watch. Like, yeah. Some random episodes.
Oh, like, we, or, you know, within, like we did with the first series of Inside Number 9, just sit down and just watch it all in one.
Yeah,
run.
Well, I was looking at, like, the air dates, and it looks like the first three episodes were all aired on the same night anyway.
God, that would have been nice. Do you know what, there is part of me that, I, because, like, I tell you, I look into horror a lot and horror fiction, that sort of thing. The idea that when you've got limited stuff on telly, the fact that you'd sit down and you don't necessarily know what's on, you just flick it on and you could find just the most bizarre and odd and spooky and amazing films and shows just from flicking and staying up late, you know, flicking through the channels. Something about that I find really satisfying. So the idea that you could just, you know, they say, right, we're airing these first three on these nights, there's something about accessibility that takes away a bit of the almost the hunt for good horror. Do you know what I mean? Or at least good stories, good TV shows, good films.
Yeah, this podcast is really helping.
Yep.
But the trouble is...
I don't know, Channel Zero.
Like, the thing that's really ruining us is the fact that we watch so many different TV shows that sometimes it's hard to keep up with them.
That's true. That is very true.
However...
But yeah.
Did I tell you I finished Frequency?
Yes. You said you'd finished it, like... in a couple of days.
Oh yeah, like the day after we recorded the podcast, I finished it.
Yeah,
it was. It's actually, it's so good.
Yeah, you mentioned it was. It all tied together. It was actually really cool.
Like it yeah, it came out of the at the end of it, and I was like, but it's one of those things. I'm like, I'm so glad that was just one fucking season.
Because
it's one of those the ones that I'm like, a season two would ruin that.
See, that's rare, I think, but...
It's rare, but then it's like... It's just that... I think it was that kind of story that was just like... Because the nature of it was like... I fucked this thing up in the pilot. How do I try and fix it? Mm. And then you get to the end of the season, you're like, I don't want you to... Just don't fuck around. Like, you'd learn. You'd go, well, I'm just not going to fuck around with time anymore.
But then I don't know what else you'd do.
Well, exactly. You could have had them go off and be buddy cops saving crimes in the past to, like speeding up solving certain crimes in the past to maybe fix the future. But the whole theme of it would have got quite boring after a while, I think.
Plus, I imagine writing anything where the manipulation of time is, you know, a factor, I imagine that gets very complicated very quickly.
Yeah, because so you could all
run yourself into a corner.
What they did quite well with that is they made, because they were having the time series run in parallel, so they were running like they were doing it was like the same day and the same time in both, but they were just 20 years apart.
Yeah.
So
that's quite a good rule.
Yeah,
like to set up.
It stops you being a lot more jumpy. But no, it was really good. I actually, if you find a spare, I think it's like 12 hours or something.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. We don't actually have a TV show to watch at the moment, so I might suggest that.
Give that one a go.
Next Monday night. I think
that'd be a good one.
I mean, I love the first one. So
yeah, I mean, you just have to watch it again, and not be like she saves him.
Oh, sorry. So next episode, what are we doing next episode?
Oh, we're doing the fucking reboots.
That's it. Now, immediately, like, initially I looked at these two and I was like, there is no link between these whatsoever. And I was like, oh no, hang on, it's bringing back an older show. So
I think they're both Netflix ones as well.
I'm not sure. I think Legacy might be a Sky thing.
Well, they were both brought back in, like, I think not the same year. I don't know. But yeah, so it's Star Trek Discovery.
Mm-hmm. With Jason Isaacs, except he's not actually in the first episode, I don't think.
Oh. And 24 Legacy.
I am looking forward to watching both of those, because I like 24, and Star Trek, I don't think I've ever watched an episode.
I always find Star Trek so hit and miss, but it might just look new and shiny. I mean, to be fair, if it's anything like the films, I'll probably dig it.
Yeah, I did like the films. We went to a midnight opening of the film, the second one, for some reason, didn't we? I think we were at the pub near
the cinema.
Oh yeah, that was it.
I think, was it the same day we went to see Iron Man as well?
No, that was a different day, because that was the day, that was one of my favourite days of my life. I spent the entire day in the cinema.
And I just popped along at the end for Iron Man 3, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that was a good day. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to watching Star Trek Discovery and 24, so that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, should be a good, cool. Good podcast. Good.
I'm going to go and fall asleep because I'm fucking dying.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, if you could just not wake up, that'd be great. Thanks, friend.
Oh, well, there's no need for... Right. See you later.
Goodbye.